Who is funding this podcast?
Who's doing it?
Hello, everyone. Boy, do we have a question for you.
What is it?
Who's funding this podcast?
Oh.
I am your host, Maddie Bird.
And I am your host, Doug Terranova.
And today, we are going to be talking about the Bermuda Triangle.
Wee-woo. That's, I don't know, alien noises.
Wee woo, wee woo.
That's. Did you get a feeling of alien mystique?
I got a feeling of like a 4-year-old trying to impersonate an ambulance. Because right, totally, yeah. Of course, yeah. That is aliens.
Oh, for all we know.
For all we know, those.
That's
are
how they talk.
Well, what have you been up to this week, Doug? How on a scale of 1 to 10, how Bermuda Triangle was your week?
Fairly Bermuda Triangle. I would say 1 to 10, it's a solid 7 in that I seem to have had lost huge amounts of time. Like, I just, where did, time goes by so fast.
Okay, so what have I been doing lately? So I'm still on a Doctor Who kick. There's a lot of Doctor Who.
There's
a,
so much Doctor Who.
So I have decided that I am on the inside an adventure girly, which you're thinking, Maddie, you don't even have a passport, and you're correct.
Okay.
But
like in your heart.
But in my heart, adventure girly.
Adventure girly.
So I just finished a book about a lady pirate, and she has a friend who's like another lady pirate, and they're not gay, but like. But like there's two lady pirates and like it's very fun.
It's criminal that they're not gay. Yeah.
She ends up being married to a demon, which I do like though.
That's queer.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. It's very bisexual of her. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. And then I started reading another book that is ironically enough very similar to today's topic. It is called Driftwood, and it is about where quote-unquote worlds go to die. I've been reading and or watching TV about adventure people and literally not leaving my house. It's thrilling.
I mean, that's the best type of adventures to take. You're just a nerd. Like, yeah. That's really it. Oh, you know what else has been on my mind lately?
What? What?
So, and this kind of affects you like a little bit because you're almost Gen Z, but you're still millennial, but weirdly, this is applicable to you.
Yeah.
So I saw a picture, one of many, of Zendaya and Tom Holland just kind of like cuddling up and being cute.
Yeah.
And it hit me that that is what every Gen Z lesbian couple looks like.
<It's> true.
They look like Zendaya and Tom Holland.
I will take that.
Yeah.
I will take that.
You're Tom
My
Holland.
Wife and I are obsessed with Zendaya and Tom Holland, so.
I am too. They are the cutest.
They're adorable.
It is the most adorable relationship. Like, and that's the thing. So, Tom Holland, like, he's attractive, but I don't even feel attracted to him. Not because of anything other than he's too cute.
Yes, I agree.
He's too cute to be attractive.
I agree with that.
He's a puppy dog, and you're not attracted to those.
But you do like that Zendaya, because she is so attractive and seems so good-natured and, like, kind of innocent.
Yeah.
That she,
which is funny because of all of Euphoria.
Right. Right? And then she goes and, like, you watch Euphoria and you're like, where did this come from?
I can't watch Euphoria. I tried to watch the first episode. I had a literal anxiety attack. I was like, I cannot watch this.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, okay. So my wife showed it to me, like, when we first started dating. So this was years mm-hmm. ago. And we still haven't finished the show for that exact reason. Because mm-hmm. I can watch 2 episodes and then I have to go, like, take a shower and
like,
calm down.
The bathroom completely dark.
Yes.
Like, yeah. That's
and I'm just like, I don't really understand. And she's like, I just like to watch it. It makes me feel something. And I'm like, it makes me feel too much.
It makes me feel too many things. I watched an episode and then Bobby and I went to Home Depot and I had a full-on panic attack in Home Depot.
Bobby
was like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know, but I think it was that damn show.
I think it got into my bones. I hate that for you. But truly, I could see that happening because that show is a lot. Mm-hmm. Every trigger warning if you have not watched it.
Yeah, it's and like... Also, inexplicable trigger warnings, too. Yes. Like, if you are inexplicably triggered, yeah, you're like, why is this happening? That is how you will feel with Euphoria.
Yeah. If you want to just be stressed out, mm-hmm, for an extended period of time, mm-hmm, well after you've finished the episode,
yeah,
you know, you can watch that show. It is good.
Yeah.
It's fantastically written. The acting is superb.
I know that we make fun of the fashion as a society, the fashion in Euphoria, but mm-hmm, stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely stunning fashion.
Yeah. Adventures?
Speaking of adventures,
let's dive into the Bermuda Triangle.
But let's not literally dive into the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, that might turn out bad for us if we do that.
Never come back.
So I didn't watch it, and this will just be a fun fact at the top, but mm-hmm, apparently Mr. Beast on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
He did something in the Bermuda Triangle.
He does stuff.
And it, like, the title of the video was like, can we survive stranded in the Bermuda Triangle?
And I guess the answer was yes, because they published it.
I assumed the answer was yes, and I didn't click on it.
Yeah.
But I did try to find some fun, like, media for the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I didn't really find a whole lot, to be honest with you. I did find one tidbit that I will point out that is my favorite later. But first, let's get into the history of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes, please.
Okay, so what is your relationship with the Bermuda Triangle conspiracy?
So I feel like it's very similar to Area 51.
Yeah.
When we talked about that, like, it's very, like, as a kid growing up, you hear about it. And actually, I think it's actually closer to growing up, my relationship with the idea of quicksand.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be a way bigger problem in my life.
Right.
You know, like, I was like, got to watch out for that Bermuda Triangle. You know, I've not been there.
Not even one time.
34 years old. Not been in that triangle.
Do you remember, like, what, when you were growing up and, like, you saw, because it's, like, I couldn't find anything that wasn't, I mean, there are a couple, like, documentaries and stuff that are about the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
There's two documentaries, one of them I did watch, about sharks in the Bermuda Triangle.
Are they the problem?
And, I was watching it, and they weren't, like, trying to be, like, and this is the conspiracy, but mm-hmm, I was watching it, like, that is a lot of sharks.
This is a lot of sharks there. You know, I've heard that there are a lot of sharks in the Bermuda Triangle.
I think that it must be, like, a breeding ground or a mating ground or a...
It's where the aliens drop them off.
Yeah,
when exactly. They accidentally abduct a shark, and they're like,
okay, so you have heard of the conspiracy theory about the aliens in the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, okay, yes. I mean, I think that that's probably the biggest... most well-known thing is aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and I think that that's something that I just am going to become to, like, get to a point in this podcast where I expect that aliens are a part of it.
Yes. Okay, so, like, low-key, we're kind of getting there.
Yeah. True. Like, I'm surprised that I didn't come across aliens killed Princess Diana.
I was thinking about that as I was researching this, and the next episode that I'm going to do, spoiler alert, it's about Amelia Earhart.
Mm.
And I was honestly shocked. I was like, wait a second. We had a powerful woman who died mysteriously, and we didn't suspect aliens?
Right. I literally was doing research for a different episode that I'd heard of this conspiracy. And just out of nowhere, it was nothing to do with anything. And they're like, oh, it's aliens. I was like, of course it is.
We're going to turn into that guy from Ancient Aliens.
Aliens. So that's the thing is, like, in my head, when I'm putting episodes together, I'm like, don't be that guy specifically. Don't be the aliens guy.
Okay, so maybe this is, like, I'm going to say that this is a good thing. And mm-hmm, maybe it balances the podcast, because the deeper that I get into some of these, the more I want to be that guy.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's okay. So that is a great balance, because I'm like, no, don't. You're a cynic.
And you have to remain such.
And, you know, Bobby and I will watch Ancient Aliens every once in a while, and we try to see how many episodes we can get through before we're just done. But, like, it's so funny because they'll just say the most off-the-wall thing. They'll be like, Hitler's uncle was a alien from outer space. And then they'll be like, just no context, no evidence, no anything. And they're like, and if that's true, and then they just build off of that.
And then they have like a rock and they're like, then this rock probably. I love that. I think that, so I go through phases where I'm like full into, you know, the skepticism, and I'm like, well, not phases. Like, I am always trying to be like, all right, like, there's some logic behind this, but do I love the idea that aliens are secretly involved in pretty much every major event that's ever happened in human history? And also somehow in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma? Absolutely. Of course,
yeah.
This makes perfect sense.
It does. They're both running our government and going out to a farmer in the middle of Yukon, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
To, like, I don't know.
Explains do butt why, stuff. Explains why.
That's, they have to go to rural to do butt stuff.
They do. I mean, do you remember, like, Men in Black and the big bug from the first one? He did crash. Yeah.
The bug in the Edgar suit.
And he did bug stuff.
So. He did bug stuff. He wanted some sugar water.
Especially.
He said, give me a glass of sugar water.
Edgar, are you okay?
I don't know if that was Edgar or Batman that I just did.
Maybe both.
Something in the middle. Really bad voices. When
I was
a kid,
I was really into Men in Black.
Oh, yeah, same. I think that's low-key a queer thing.
Is it a queer thing?
I don't know.
It's a queer thing, and maybe why we're here doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I never had, like, the good videos at home.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have the first Men in Black, but I had Men in Black 2 at home, and I watched it so much.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Men in Black 2 is the best one, for sure.
Is it?
But sometimes I do think about the bug and the Edgar suit.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene in the kitchen.
Also, the galaxy's on Orion's belt.
Orion's belt.
There's a cat named Orion. I feel like everybody should have got that a little bit quicker.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyways, about that Bermuda Triangle.
So coming all the way back down to Earth through the Bermuda Triangle and back out to space.
This is what happens.
Okay, so the big thing that a lot of people talk about is, of course, that there are aliens.
Yep.
But maybe we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. That is, to my understanding, one of the bigger ones that I remember growing up, it was the aliens and then the time travel, like the time warp effect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like a black hole or something.
Yes. Yeah. Of the Bermuda. And then, like you, I did really, sometimes I do still think about it, like in the back of my head. Like, I got to be careful if I start going on real adventures because the Bermuda Triangle's out there.
Well, there's also the Dragon Triangle or something over by Japan.
Yes.
Which is the same.
I saw that as I was looking, and I was like, that's none of my business right now. Yeah, so we'll get there another episode.
Yeah, this is a totally different hemisphere. Can't deal with that right now.
Okay, so the Bermuda Triangle, it is a triangle that's formed between Miami down to Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico up to Bermuda, and then Bermuda back to Miami.
Mm.
And it does cross through the Bahamas. So if you were to fly off the south coast of Florida through the Bahamas over to Puerto Rico and then back up, that is that
you would go through
the Bermuda Triangle. You would be on like the outside of it.
Okay, got it.
And so this whole, it's like this triangle of space that is colloquially known as the Bermuda Triangle. Now, it is important to note that the U.S. National Coast Guard does not recognize the Bermuda Triangle as a definitive space or place. They do not, like,
because the aliens paid them off.
Right.
Yeah.
They do not, like, they monitor all like coastal areas and do all of, you know, the government shit, but they don't look at the triangle and be like, this happened in the triangle. They
got
just
it, got it.
They're just like, this is the location of whatever happened.
Okay. So reports wise, you kind of got to know where. Yeah.
Right.
They're talking about. Okay.
Exactly. So that's where it is. So if you can kind of think about it in your head, that is also a pretty large space. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty vast area. Okay. But it starts to get crazy because, like a lot of places in the world, there's been a lot of disappearances.
Okay.
Now the question is, has there been more disappearances and more crazy things that happened within the Bermuda Triangle than any other place in the ocean in the world?
That concentrated of an area. Yeah.
Right.
So that's, are we just noticing it because we've decided that there's something there?
Right, exactly. Okay. So off, or so within the Bermuda Triangle, there have been reports of more than 50 ships, 20 airplanes, and this is probably a lower number. There are other estimates that say that it's, you know, in the hundreds of ships, airplanes, crew.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who has gone on them and disappeared has completely disappeared.
Okay.
So when this first started being investigated, there were small efforts that would go out and they would look for everybody and they couldn't really find anything.
Yeah.
And so one of the first cases was the USS Cyclops. So the USS Cyclops.
Badass name.
It's a pretty, pretty badass name.
Yeah.
So it was coming through the Bermuda Triangle. Now, it's also important to note that it was carrying a specific kind of bulk metal.
Okay.
And it was, it wasn't like, it wasn't carrying like iron ore or like, or something. It was carrying like a, like essentially a ton, like a metric ton.
Oh, okay.
Of manganese.
That's a metal.
That's a metal.
Okay.
So it's a kind of metal and it was carrying it in the bowels of the ship and it was coming across the Bermuda Triangle. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of like on a relay between the UK and between the US, obviously.
Okay.
Okay. And then it went down. And nobody knows why.
And just disappeared?
Just disappeared.
Okay.
So basically they were like, what do you do? So they couldn't find anything, nothing happens. But the USS Cyclops has two sister ships.
Mm.
So they tried again. Now the other two were not carrying manganese, but they were carrying other compounds, like different variations of, you know, boron metals or whatever it was that we needed because the army or whatever. Yeah,
because army. Yeah.
Both went down.
What? And like completely disappeared also?
Completely disappeared. So this was a huge catastrophe, right? Because not only did we lose these ships, but we also lost a bunch of valuable material that was within them.
And people
and
or whatever.
All of the people.
Yeah. That's whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So then we have this happening. And then we start to fast forward a little bit in time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got people who are flying across the Bermuda. And they are experiencing some crazy phenomena. And so we have two different records of a couple of different things that happened.
Okay.
Okay, so one of them was known as Flight 19. So Flight 19 took off, and this was supposed to be a team of U.S., like, they were pretty big airplanes. They're called torpedo bombers.
Yeah.
And they disappeared over the Bermuda Triangle, and this was in 1945. Okay. So what was interesting about this one is that they took off, and this was a training flight.
Mm-hmm.
So there was their leader, and they were supposed to do a pretty much a quick, like, training flight across the Keys and come and essentially come back. So they flew under the command of Charles Carroll Taylor. And they take off, and then pretty immediately, within several hours, they radio back in, and Taylor is basically like, I have no idea where we are or what we're doing. And they were like, what do you mean? And he was like, I think that we're over Florida still. And they'd already been flying for 4 hours.
So there's no way.
And so there was no way. So they radio in, and everybody who receives the report is basically like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
you just fly around in circles. Like, this is incorrect. And then you can hear on the radio transmission that there are some of his crew are arguing with him, and he's telling them that his compasses, he has two compasses, and this will become important in a second. But both of them are wrong. And then he also was having trouble with the radio, his watch, he said maybe wasn't correct.
Huh.
Essentially, all of the things that he needed to figure out where he was, he did not have. Then you could hear him arguing with some crew members who were saying that we needed to fly west. He was like, no, let's go east. And then essentially they continue to fly, and the last radio in is, we're about to run out of fuel. One of the aircrafts is like flying low, and he's like, this is it, dogs.
Yeah, they have no idea. Nobody has any idea where they are. They don't know where they are.
They don't know where
also,
they are.
Also, compasses are magnets. Am I wrong?
You are wrong and right.
Okay.
So then we could go into the compasses too, because this will be kind of important later. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that people often cite is this compass situation. Mm-hmm. So there's two different kinds of compasses.
Okay.
So there is a magnetic compass, which points to the magnetic north.
North, right.
But magnetic north and true north are not always the same thing.
Okay.
Or maybe it's the other way around. So what people do is that you have one compass that points to like your geographical north, and then mm-hmm. one that points to your magnetic north.
Okay.
And then with some calculation, and then like the time of day and where the sun is or whatever, you can figure out where you're actually supposed to be going, or where, or maybe it's between the two of them, where true north actually is.
Okay, got it.
So yes, they are magnets.
But there's also, it's different. Well, I guess because magnetic fields aren't static, like they change
intensity on
where you are.
Yes.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Right. And so most people know, like if you're an experienced like aviator,
mm-hmm.
That if you have a magnetic compass, that you have to make a certain adjustment. It's like a conversion, you know, like from Fahrenheit to Celsius.
Sure.
So
okay.
You know, like minus 10 degrees, and then you're actually facing due north.
But he's saying that both of his compasses
were malfunctioning. Yeah, so he had two, both were fucked. And then he was also fighting with this crew.
Okay.
And so then they went down. Then, again, huge search and rescue effort. And they were like, okay, well, they must have, he told everybody to fly east. So they went east and then didn't find anything. Come back, fly west, or come back west. And this isn't like a for funsies. Like search and rescue. This is a huge rescue effort.
Right.
Nothing but was recovered.
The chances of finding anyone in the ocean whenever they weren't quite sure where they were to begin with is low.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to like figure it out based on the radio transmissions and based on where they were supposed to be. And nothing ever came of it. So there were planes missing, 13 crew members missing,
mm-hmm.
no trace of anybody.
Okay.
Okay, so then 1964 comes out, and this guy named Vincent? Vincent Gaddis. He writes an article, and it's one of my favorite things that I have read.
Oh, okay.
And I obviously can't read you the whole article, but I can read you some pieces of it. And he's the one who officially coins the term the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
He calls the article the Deadly Bermuda Triangle.
Ooh, that's a good article.
That's
a great title.
Yeah, exactly. And it starts, what is there about this particular slice of the world that has destroyed hundreds of ships and planes without a trace?
Okay, that number is bigger than other numbers.
And like what's already, fun but, is like this is like this was published through a university.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So it's like supposed to be science-y. I think that's
but
why
it's very National Enquirer like that.
Yes. And so this details several other instances where you have ships and crew and large crews, like let's say 13 is like a fairly small number.
Sure.
Well, in 1963, there was a crew of 39 on a tanker known as the Sulphur Queen. And it began its
work.
Yeah, exactly. And it came out of Beaumont, Texas. But this one was also carrying molten sulfur. The Sulphur Queen may have also been a situation that was similar to the USS
that had
Cyclops.
The other metal.
Yes.
Manganese.
Yes, the manganese metal. And these two, we can probably go ahead and get these out of the way. Basically, if you're carrying materials that you don't totally like understand how they work, essentially the boats were not built to do that. Mm. And then there was some amount of reaction that happened, and not so like that an could explosion have been its
own thing.
Yes, yeah. But like a density issue, or like they like a melting point issue, and they just the ship just got fucked basically.
But so this Sulfur Queen also disappeared, never to be seen again.
39 crew members.
So
gone.
my so yeah, it very easy to see how a malfunctioning ship could just, you're not supposed to have molten sulfur in that, and you went on the ocean and you got fucked. Mm-hmm. But my question is, wouldn't that have affected the like ocean around it? Having released molten sulfur into the water. So it would have been pretty easy to be like, it's there.
You would think. But I suppose in the 60s.
I mean, maybe not. Also, the ocean big.
Also, the ocean is big. Now, we can seem to fuck it up a lot with oil, but that's a different.
Oil, trash.
You know, all the
microplastics.
Things. So if you account for all that shit that we put in the ocean, mm-hmm. then it becomes a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Similarly, this is less than a year later. There were 2 4-engine jets that took off from Miami, Florida, so like right at the tip of the Bermuda Triangle, and they were going on a classified refueling mission.
Ooh.
This crew totaled 11, and the weather was clear.
Mm-hmm.
Took off at noon. They radio in that their position was 800 miles northeast of Miami and 300 miles west of Bermuda. The planes were new, in radio contact with each other, and they were not flying close together. Everything was fine.
Okay. Everything's going like normal.
Completely disappeared. The planes vanished. And so then they again launched another rescue effort. No survivors or bodies were found. It was presumed that the two planes collided in the air, but like I said at the beginning, when they had initially radioed in, they were a couple miles apart from each other. Like, they weren't near each other. Mm-hmm. So they must have just gone whoop and then just come back and collided.
Hmm.
So anyway, the other fun fact in this article is basically this just kind of continues, and he goes through the history of a lot of what I've talked about, and then even more examples of people, planes, and boats disappearing.
Sure.
But at some point in the article, he goes, and who knows, even before this article comes out, who knows who else the Bermuda Triangle.
It's just, like, according to this article, it's just nomming up people just left and right. And it's like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, he's literally, like, it's like this article, he's basically describing the Bermuda Triangle as, like, ghosts.
Entity in itself. Yes, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which I find so interesting.
I think that is sort of the characterization of the Bermuda Triangle in pop culture, though, is like, it's almost its own,
like, it's like
thing.
A sentient thing, yeah. That mm-hmm. chooses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of through history, and that we bounced around a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But the point is, a lot of people have
a lot. The point is, people go in and sometimes don't come out.
Exactly.
And we never find them.
The best that we've gotten is a few bits of, you know, plane, a life jacket.
So here like and that. There, but not enough.
Not enough. Mm. Not enough. Okay. So there are several conspiracy theories.
I'm ready.
I'm going to group a couple of them together.
Sure.
And they're going to be in two categories.
I want to commend you, because I feel like this is one of those ones where it'd be so hard to piece together coherent thoughts.
I do not feel like I am piecing together coherent thoughts.
Like, well, just like from the world as you're like researching, because, you know, we talked about like, I want to do flat earth and I want to do simulation theory, but yeah. Just trying to piece together coherent thoughts within those is so hard
because they're so expansive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like I could do just an episode on like the shit that's happened within the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then it also becomes kind of wishy-washy, because like I said, it's not a recognized area, And it's also the ocean.
Well, so it does make it harder to get an exact tally.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to go through and be like, okay, so the last contact with the person was here. That's the other thing is, like, did they disappear in there? Or did they go somewhere else?
Did they fly through it and then they disappeared? Which I don't have the exact nautical miles out from Miami and Bermuda
A lot, but yeah. It's not small. I mean, you can't see Bermuda from Miami, so it's pretty small.
So I'm going to categorize our, like, there's going to be two sets of conspiracy theories.
Okay.
I'm going to categorize them group one, true conspiracy theories. I'm going to categorize group two as more reasonable theories.
We'll see about that. I'll be the judge of that.
And this is purely my opinion. Who goes in what?
Okay. No, that's fair. Yeah. You put together this episode. You get to do it however you want.
So I'm going to start with the true conspiracy theories.
Okay.
With my two favorite. And the first one is Atlantis. So the first theory.
Okay.
Right? And it's like you're thinking, oh, aliens. And don't get me wrong, we'll get to the aliens.
No, I like Atlantis better, though.
Than aliens?
Yeah.
Okay. So the thought is that there is sufficient evidence to prove that, remember how we talked about the magnetic, like how compasses work and mm-hmm. the magnets? Okay. So some people think, oh, well, actually, when you're in this area, that little, like, conversion that you have to do, like the minus 10 degrees, you actually don't have to do it here. And only super experienced aviators would know that. So they think that some people have gotten off course because of that.
Okay.
Well, other people think that the reason that there are these differences in the magnetic frequencies, as well as some shifts in weather that come on suddenly, is because this is where Atlantis is.
Wait, they think that Atlanteans can affect the weather?
Yes, because they have developed crystal energies and advanced technology.
You know what? Actually, I shouldn't be picking apart this. you either take it all or none when it's something like Atlantis. Like, that's... yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So, this was founded by a guy named Charles Berlitz. I don't know a whole lot.
It sounds like that sounds like just like it just falls out of your mouth. Just Charles Berlitz.
You know when you like are trying not to burp.
Yeah, that's exactly like it's the most fake sounding name because it sounds like you just said the first noise you could think of is Berlitz.
Berlitz. Okay, so essentially there is not a whole lot of evidence for this one, mm-hmm. but I did want to bring it up because I do like it.
Okay.
So essentially, somewhere within the Bermuda Triangle is where Atlantis sits, and it is just thriving, living, chilling, like the movie.
Moisturized.
Yeah, 100%.
In her lane.
And they have developed advanced technology. He says crystal energies.
Cool.
That remain active and they can cause mechanical malfunctions in the boats and planes above. And that's what is accounting for it.
Crystal energy. What's great about conspiracy theorists is you can really say whatever you feel like. Like, you can just, that's Atlantis. Well, how do they do it? Crystal energy. What's that? It's what the Atlanteans have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it is kind of what Disney said that they had.
There's some very blue crystal light stuff going on. She had her little necklace dealy, mm-hmm. if I'm remembering right. That's basically all the proof you need.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you telling me that you don't believe the Walt Disney Corporation knows about Atlantis and is sending out clues in one of its, lesser known?
If there is a company that I believe
knows about Atlantis,
knows about fucking anything that they want to, it's Disney.
It's Disney. Disney and Amazon. Like, Jeff Bezos and Walt Disney's cryogenically frozen head have a lot of information on Atlantis.
Right, right. Yeah. And Walt Disney's cryogenically frozen head is a future episode.
That is, yeah.
But mm-hmm. it is an all-knowing head, potentially.
Why wouldn't it be? Again, you can just say whatever you want.
Exactly. Okay. So, Atlantis, 0 out of 10.
With the information given, I actually feel like you could give me satellite images of quote unquote Atlantis, and it's 0 out of 10. Absolutely zero. It's not, that's not, it come at me with something better.
Okay. Okay. So my second favorite is, of course, aliens.
Yes.
So the theory goes that just like all of the UFOs that we kind of talked about with Area 51, mm-hmm. that there is a concentration and potential portal through Bermuda Triangle, the Bermuda Triangle that aliens are using to collect human specimens, both people and technology.
Oh, why would they want our technology?
Well, because they're studying
the planet Earth. It's like alien anthropologists.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Okay.
So, again, this is to explain some of those magnetic differences, some of the sudden shifts, and the vanishing more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought is that there is a portal, not just that, like, there are aliens who, like, are in the Bermuda Triangle. No, it's that there is specifically a portal to their planet or to another dimension.
Somewhere.
That they're sucking these boats
like
and
a vacuum.
Ships. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a vacuum.
Okay.
Sucking them through in order, you know, to perform.
So some studies. Sort of wormhole portal, something that the aliens are using to transport themselves here and or us there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So then we kind of get into, well, wait, after, so honestly, as far as evidence goes,
yeah,
that's good as you're gonna get.
That's it. Okay. No, that's fair. Yeah, you're not getting a lot of evidence there. Okay, so I will say, and this is actually part of the marks in my mind against Atlantis, the disappearance, if you take those by itself, the fact that things disappear,
mm-hmm.
That is curious. Like, if Atlantis is just out there destroying ships and planes willy-nilly, I feel like we would see the wreckage.
Yeah, like maybe, especially if it's like the thing we're is
more likely to see the wreckage. It's still the ocean, right?
It's still the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the aliens thing, it's such a pervasive thing, and it's such an easy fallback for people to just explain away things. You know, it is curious that things disappear, which is the whole crux of it. So with no evidence to support this, other than it seems to be happening here, and it is not every ship and boat, a ship, boat, plane, person on a
mm-hmm.
Do you smell toast? But no, 1 out of 10. I will say one.
One out of ten. That it's aliens?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you saying 1 out of 10 because aliens probably exist?
1 out of 10 is because aliens almost certainly exist. And there's still the whole mindfuck of our Area 51 episode in my brain.
That they did, in fact, confirm that there are...
That they've confirmed, but I still don't think I believe that. So it's possible... Anything's possible.
Right.
But it's so improbable that it's almost a 0 out of 10. But the lack of wreckage, I think, is the thing that keeps it from being a true 0 out of 10.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I think that's fair. I will say that this one for me, and again, going back to the Area 51 episode, you remember that they changed the acronym from UFOs, like
UAP?
Yes, yeah. Like unidentified. They changed it from like unidentified, like aerial projectiles or unidentified flying objects. I can't remember.
It's unidentified aerial phenomenon?
Yes. And so they changed it to be like all-encompassing.
Yeah.
So it's not just aerial phenomenon. It's just like basically unidentified.
We don't know what that is.
We don't know what that is, yeah. Right? So they had to change it because then they'd seen stuff in the water, and specifically the video that had come out
mm-hmm.
out of the coast of San Diego where that tic-tac, shot out.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, well, stuff's happening in the water,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, okay. See, that's fair. I think that you know, the idea that there is alien technology so far beyond our own that we can't even measure it decreases every year.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, we're going to be less dumb enough that we're going to be like, oh, yeah, some weird activity happens that is measurable here. But it has not, that's not happened yet.
Has not happened yet. Okay. So if we move to the next one, this is a little bit similar.
Okay.
Because you remember I said that there is a portal.
Portal.
Well,
this one's to hell.
It's to hell. It's the devil. It's Lil Nas X.
It's Lil Nas X going down to give the devil a lap dance and then break his neck.
Yes. So the next theory, and this, we're still in the true conspiracy theory category.
Okay.
And the next one is wormholes.
Okay.
And wormholes, I have more evidence for.
Okay.
Which is fun.
Would love to hear.
Okay. So could it be that there is, in fact, if we say portal, not maybe not like a man-made or alien-made portal, but somehow there is like a
natural occurring phenomenon.
Yes, okay. There is a gravitational, you know, rip in space and time that has centered in the Bermuda Triangle, right?
Got
and
it.
So you pass through it, but it's a true wormhole, right? So it connects two pieces because a black hole would just suck everything in. Mm-hmm. Of course we know this. Astrology.
Yeah, it's obviously.
Right.
I've seen Contact. Is that Jodie Foster? I think, yeah.
I actually love Jodie Foster.
I love Jodie Foster also. Speaking of, I'm watching True Detective.
Yeah.
The Jodie Foster, the new season. Oh my God, so good.
I hear that it's really good, and I do love Jodie Foster.
She
but
plays
I'm
a straight
I'm
woman,
afraid.
And I kind of hate that. Like, has she not gotten past this?
I know.
Is she not earned it to just be able to be lesbian?
You know how there's like gay voice? Do you believe in lesbian voice?
Oh, I 100% believe in lesbian
and
voice.
And I believe Jodie Foster has lesbian
voice. I think Jodie Foster's voice is lesbian voice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think that's why I like her so much.
Yeah, she has the lesbian voice.
Yes. And it's like a little southern drawl.
And it's like a little mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like in a feminine way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is our podcast about Jodie Foster.
You know how Jodie Foster goes through wormholes all the time? Okay. So there is a phenomena that has been documented. And if you remember when I told you about some of the flights and the radio dispatches, where the pilots are arguing amongst themselves and the compasses aren't working. So Taylor, who was the colonel, or what was he? He was lieutenant.
Okay.
Lieutenant Taylor, initially, after the fact, he was never found, but after the fact, and nothing happened, there had to be some kind of a court, you know, hearing about this. He was initially charged with essentially, like, being belligerent and confusing everybody, and that caused...
He's one of the guys that never got found?
He never got found.
Well, that seems rude.
But that was
we have to blame someone and he's not around.
Essentially. And he was the lieutenant. He was in charge and this was a training mission. And he was yelling at everybody and confused. Everybody was confused as shit.
Yeah.
So.
Which is not great. Yeah. For any sort of military anything.
So then apparently what happened was after his mom, who was still alive after all of this, went back and like sued the government and was like, no, like do your due diligence.
How dare you?
Like, I don't think that this is correct. So this has since been redacted and he's no longer been found at fault for Flight 19.
Okay. So,
but I bring him up because that was not the only instance of a documented like confusion that has happened while passing through the Bermuda Triangle. Mm. And so there is this guy, and his name is Bruce Gernon.
Another great last name.
And
Gernon. Gernon and Bruce. Gernon.
I mean, it could be Jernan, but I am not sure. and he has his own website.
Ooh, fancy.
And it is electricfog.com.
Electric Fog.
Yes. And so on his website, he says that over the course of a decade, he's flown through the Bermuda Triangle and has experienced time distortion,
okay,
pilot disorientation, and the equipment malfunctions that have all been documented in other flights.
Okay.
Except he obviously survived.
Sure.
And he did not go missing.
He
experienced the fog twice over a period of 3 decades, not a single decade. But the point is, mm-hmm, he has now written about it. He's been on many, many documentary series. He's getting the word out there that he thinks this is what happened. So he flew,
okay,
and then he was flying. He was enveloped in fog, he says.
Okay.
And then when he came out of the fog, he was 100 miles ahead of where he was initially enveloped.
Like, oh.
And time had not shifted. So we're talking within a matter of minutes, he'd somehow flown 100 miles.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
So how do you feel?
So this would be a very small wormhole.
A very small wormhole.
Just go bloop. Yes. Thank God, because it would have put you on Pluto or something. well, I think this is an interesting concept, that the concept of wormholes have only been discussed at the most theoretical level by astrophysicists. So, you know, who's to say if something like that would be possible. However, I think it would be highly unlikely to have a wormhole in the ocean that wasn't super noticeable.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so because I don't mean to like get on Gernon's bad side, because he is
Gernon,
like alive and has done a lot of work.
Yeah, like, well, listen, you're listening to this podcast. We are comedians. We are not experts in almost any of the fields that we will speak about.
I don't know if that's obvious by the fact that I still don't really understand how a compass works.
So, like, you know, take what we think with a grain of salt. This is not an educational podcast. but no, I struggle with thinking it. Other things would be displaced, right?
You would think other things would be displaced.
And also okay, if it were a wormhole and it was putting you out 100 miles away, the couple problems I have is, people are going missing in this entire triangle, right?
Yeah.
Not just at one particular spot. You'd be pretty easy to localize, oh, this is the problem area. The other thing is, if it's only putting you 100 miles away, you would think we would have found... One, it would not be that disastrous,
uh-huh,
for... Especially ships. I could understand, you know, the planes running out of fuel or whatever. But... there would be more instances of people who survived this, yeah, and been like, hey, this is, everybody's saying the same thing. And I think that, yeah, that's, it's a more fun theory, I think, because it is in the possibility of natural occurring phenomenon,
mm-hmm,
but yeah, no, it's silly. It's just silly.
It is silly. Would you give it a 0 out of 10 or a 1 out of 10?
I guess if I'm giving aliens a 1 out of 10, I have to give this one a 1 out of 10. It should show you how little I believe the Atlantis one.
I will give you 1 out of 10. I think that is fair. Mm-hmm. What I like about this one is that there is a guy, Bruce Gernon. Who has just spent his life, Bruce, who's just after this has been like, no, this is definitively.
Yeah, but
this is what happened.
Like,
and I don't think that he necessarily calls it a wormhole, but he does consider it like a misty vortex
he's,
situation.
Electric fog. Fog that is electric is the idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
That causes some sort of time disruption.
Right. And all of the photos on his website are all kind of circular spinning fog situations. So I am lumping him in a little bit.
He's with the crazies. Like, I'm sorry, Bruce. You're lumped in with the crazies. You're probably used to it.
Like, I'm sorry, Bruce, but there's also
Our podcast.
Yeah.
There's also a photo of what? I'm sorry.
There's a photo of him, and it looks like it was taken in the 70s.
Was it?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing, like, plaid pants, and he's kind of got, like, long hair. It just, the reason why I say that, and I say the 70s, is he looks like somebody who maybe, oh, wait, the experience that he had back in 1970.
Okay.
Look, I'm just going to say that and the pants speak for itself.
I'm just going to say that in the late 60s, early 70s, acid was not a Schedule I controlled drug. That's
all I'm saying. And all I'm also saying is that if you take it once and then you get your mind all open and you're not...
You just keep getting into that electric fog.
And you listen, keep, like, I'm just saying.
I can tell you with a fair amount of certainty that it is possible to take acid and have never experienced the Bermuda Triangle in such a way.
But you're telling me,
you know, time dilation, sure.
Right.
Ending up 100 miles away from where you thought you were, possible.
Like, totally possible. I wish that that's what happened to Amelia Earhart, but getting ahead of myself. That's next episode.
Next episode. Did we mention that this is a two-parter?
This is a two-parter.
Mm.
Because after this weird, well, Amelia Earhart.
Mm-hmm.
She's hot. Anyway.
She is. Less these days.
Less these days. Mm. Okay. So let's go ahead and move from our categories from true conspiracy theories.
Like the crazy, zany conspiracy theory.
To more reasonable theories.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So a little bit similar in that we've got, like, vortexes happening. But these are water spouts. So water spouts are spinning columns of moist air that form over warm water. Essentially, they work like how a tornado works.
Okay.
It just happens over the ocean. But they can hit.
Terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. And they can hit pretty quickly, and they can get up to 125 miles per hour.
Jesus Christ.
And so because the Atlantic Ocean and this particular spot is both populous, like, there's a lot of people that come through, as well as it's a very, like, active, like, churning point in the ocean. There's a lot of warm air and a lot of collection of all of this. It makes a lot of sense that because so many people have flown and had sailed through it, that somebody, statistically speaking, could have been brought down by a waterspout.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I think, sorry, you go and then I'll have my thoughts.
No, you go.
So I think that that's the thing about the Bermuda Triangle. Is that some of these waterspouts, some of these something else, some of these something else. Like, I think we like to get a lot of unrelated events and loop them in together because it seems spicier. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
So this is a recorded phenomenon,
mm-hmm.
and it is a recorded phenomenon in this area of the ocean. However, this is still an unproven theory, according to, like, NASA the U.S. Coast Guard. And so they don't have any definitive evidence. It just is a working theory that because of atmospheric pressure and, you know, rising, like, flying through and experiencing a very quick change in temperature could create these spinning columns. And then all of a sudden you're trapped in it. And it could affect both sea-bearing vessels and flying ones.
And maybe that's the electric fog that old Brucey Bruce is experiencing.
It could have happened.
And it's just kind of, like, spit him out, caused some sort of head trauma. He lost some time.
It very well could have. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be sucked into some kind of a vortex, it's going to spit you out.
It's going to spit you out. It's going to spit you out fast.
It's going to spit you out fast.
Yeah,
real and fast. And it's moving very, very quickly. Yeah,
125 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how far it could go in an hour?
125 miles. One of my favorite videos is the guy who says, if you're traveling at 80 miles an hour, how far would you be after an hour? Have you seen this video?
Uh-uh.
And then this woman goes and she does a whole bunch of math in her head. She's like, well, if I were to take the wheel and how many, like no. I know about how many RPMs we have. And then she like times it up and up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you'd probably travel around like 76, 77 miles.
So close. So close.
And like, I don't know. She might even be more accurate.
I'm more impressed that she did all this extraneous math and got within 3 miles an hour
yeah.
of the answer. Then it is kind of funny that, yeah, like that is classic overthinking.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
I feel like that really epitomizes Bruce's experience.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. 100%. So, yeah. So that water spouts, that its yep. own contained.
That's its own contained one.
So I feel like I said, I feel like it's more likely that, yeah, some of this could be caused by water spouts. It'd be hard to prove.
Because this wouldn't leave any, like, lasting evidence.
Yeah. I do think that those boys in training that got lost, it doesn't seem like they got hit by a water spout. Seems like they just got lost. So I'd say for this, because it's not an all-encompassing thing, I wouldn't believe it. If you were to say every missing boat and plane in the Bermuda Triangle was because of water spouts, I wouldn't agree with it. But yeah. I'd say 5 out of 10. I would say that some of these probably got hit by a water spout.
Yeah, I think that is a fair place for this one.
Yeah,
especially because there are a couple of things that take it down for me again, and that is, first of all, the ocean is big, so the lack of like finding any survivors or bodies or like pieces of broken equipment. I feel like while we should have been able to find something, the ocean is so big, like, okay, fine, I'll give it that. But if you're gonna have been more or less ripped apart or cause a crash because of one of these things, I do feel like it would be easier, maybe, to find
wreckage. I think we still would have found more things, and I think that that's the sticking point.
Yeah. I will touch on the next one. This one I don't think that we have to rate, because this one was definitively disproven. But in 2016, there was a group of researchers from the Arctic University of Norway that they had discovered massive half-mile craters at the bottom of the Barents Sea off the coast of Norway.
Okay.
The craters were hypothesized to be caused by sudden explosions of massive deep underwater deposits of methane. So, and sort of reading this from this article, which was linked below, but so a bunch of people sort of glommed onto this idea, like, oh, of course, right. So like that can cause any number of things to have happened. So you have this explosion of methane, you could get tides turning, you could get any kind of shift in weather that could be related from a massive explosion essentially happening underwater. However, this was disproven a couple months later. Because all of the researchers themselves, I say all of,
were high as fuck.
No.
They had all taken mushrooms and like, let's write.
They were all like, this happened in Norway, and they came out and they were like, we have not made any conclusions on the Bermuda Triangle.
No, this is has Norway.
Anything to do with methane.
Yeah.
So 0 out of 10 for that one.
I would say 0 out of 10. I 1 or 2, only because I guess the idea is that it's plausible that something else that hadn't yet been measured
could have happened here. Yeah. I suppose that's fair. Okay. I have not read of any experiments that are going on to see if that is the case.
Mm.
So if we do a follow-up episode, you know, and Bruce comes on the podcast, we can discuss that then.
And he will not be happy. I think that it is one of those mysteries that's very, it's very seductive to the popular mind, because like we just have no way of proving anything because we can't find anything. Though I think that really what strikes down so much for me, and I've been thinking it since the beginning of this episode, for it being any one particular thing, Miami to Bermuda.
Yep.
Do you know how many cruise liners go through those waters every year?
Yes.
It's got to be a wild number. And they seem to be fine.
Yes. So that is worth mentioning, that the Oceans Service, the NOAA, the National Ocean Service, has come out and said, the ocean has always been, this is a quote from their website, mm-hmm. from the NOAA website. The ocean has always been a mysterious place to humans, and when foul weather or poor navigation is involved, can be a very deadly place. This is true all over the world. There is no evidence that mysterious disappearances occur with any greater frequency in the Bermuda Triangle than any other large, well-traveled area of the ocean.
I love, okay, because one, I totally agree with this sentiment, but I think it's really funny that these experts are just like, I don't know, man, the ocean's weird.
Well, but again, and maybe this is like the Area 51 one, like mm-hmm. bleeding into my head.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, they were like, aliens don't exist, and we definitely don't have an Area 51.
What's going to happen to our psychology over the course of this podcast is that we're going to get official statements and immediately be like, uh-uh.
No, because in 2023,
you would want us to say think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and then in 20 years, you're going to come out and say that, in fact, mm-hmm. everybody was correct.
Yeah, we are going to become the biggest conspiracy nuts. Like, we're going to make Jesse Ventura look absolutely sane. Like, that's my fear for the two of us.
It is also my fear.
It's my fear and my hope.
If there's a sudden stop to the podcast,
it's because we started believing everything.
Yeah, we're trapped by our own volition.
Yeah.
In one of our basements with a tinfoil hat,
mm-hmm.
And a stick and a can of food,
with our spouses both just making fun of us.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah,
and they'll be like, they'll get out of it eventually.
They'll figure it out. We knew this was going to happen.
Yes. And so the National Oceanic Service does also mention this, because this is kind of going into the next theory,
mm-hmm.
Which is magnetic forces. Basically, that there are fucked up magnetic forces.
Sure.
Where, right, exactly. Yep. Because of the crystals.
The crystal energy.
Yeah, right. And this one is less... This one is honestly, again, this is maybe category number three, less of a theory and just stuff about Bermuda, the Bermuda okay. Triangle.
You want to just know some stuff.
You want to know some stuff. So this is coming all back to the compasses, okay? So mm-hmm. there is true north, and then there is magnetic north.
Mm-hmm.
And all compasses are magnetic, I guess.
Okay.
Now I'm re-looking at this.
So I was right.
This is a learning journey.
This is, again, like this is not an educational podcast.
You're witnessing Maddie learn how a compass works in real time. And I've read through these articles more than once before we have done this. Okay, so what this is saying, what I understand, is that there is a magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a compass uses the magnetic field, and it points directly down, I guess, downward.
Okay.
And then there's true north, which is the point that is marked on a map. So like the static point that we have said, this is where these longitudinal lines
converge. And that's from like the magnetic pole, right, I guess?
I don't know if it's the magnetic poles or...
Is there a true south?
These are questions beyond me.
Fuck what, the South Pole.
What about me rambling right now makes you think that I just, would be able really to what answer I'm doing is question?
I'm just throwing more and more wrenches into this whole thing.
Okay. So anyway, basically in the Bermuda Triangle, which I think I said this a little bit earlier, that like conversion-y thing that you do in mm-hmm. order to get to true north
sure.
and magnetic north, you don't have to do in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
And so this is what the National Ocean Service has also mentioned on their website, that basically inexperienced navigators have gotten themselves lost not understanding this principle.
Okay.
So that, and then on top of that, you could experience weather changes. And very quickly, you could become disoriented and lost.
So it could be a combination. Yeah, yeah, you already are struggling with your navigational equipment. There's weather changes. Now you're lost.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
I'm pretty satisfied with that, honestly, yeah. as an answer to most of the Bermuda Triangle. The truth is, I think the older I get, the less intrigued I get mm-hmm. by the Bermuda Triangle, because it just seems like, well, yeah, it's probably just some fucked up, like, navigational stuff. Like, yeah. you know, that's... So that makes the most sense to me. Though I would love for just Atlantis to come out swinging. and be like, haha, it was us the whole time.
And Jason Momoa is Mermaid Man.
Mermaid Man. Aquaman.
And I am Barnacle Boy.
Mermaid Man and Barnacle. I would love to see Jason Momoa cosplay as Mermaid Man.
I would also love to see that.
What's terrible, because not pro this person, but I would love to see Amber Heard also be Barnacle Boy in this scenario.
That could be fun. There could be... I want, now that Megan Rapinoe has retired, like, officially from soccer, I think that she should go into acting and should be Barnacle Boy.
She should be Barnacle Boy. She should be the next Aquaman.
I think that Jason Momoa and Megan Rapinoe would be...
Oh my gosh.
...the duo that we would never expect.
That would be the most lesbian thing.
Yeah.
In the world.
That would be the most lesbian
thing.
I
can't explain it, and I won't.
But those are the...
Yeah,
those are the two spectrums of lesbian that make a circle.
Yeah, those are the magnetic north and true north of lesbianism.
And there is a magnetic south.
Is there?
I don't think so.
No, I feel like there's not, and that's real sad. You know, the North Pole gets Santa, it gets all the compasses. Mm-hmm. The South Pole just gets five scientists and a bunch of penguins.
And nothing else.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. Not until, so Jason Momoa does have like a traveling series. I don't know anything about it. Just saw an ad for it.
You know what they all do? Chris Hemsworth had one.
Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Who's the other one? He never wins the Oscar. Leonardo DiCaprio. Yes.
He's surveying young women across the world.
Across the world. Yeah. Literally, the guy spends his time just trying to be young and then also convincing politicians that climate change is real. An odd guy, I would say.
Yeah. I'm okay with some, if not all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he, you know, problematic in a lot of ways, but at least he believes in climate change.
You know what? He's problematic in ways that are genuinely... not my business.
I think, I don't know how old these women are, but I'm going to say that it is our business.
Like, okay, if they're like 25.
Okay, as long as they're actual adults.
Yeah, if they were like, if there was a teen at the end of their age,
then we'd
that's our business.
Then we'd eat him.
Honestly, 20 and 21 are babies to me. So I can't imagine being in my... Anyways, that's neither here nor there. If they're actual adults in their 20s, whatever. It's gross to me, but whatever. I can't care about everything.
You know what? Fine. I choose to care about it. I will figure it out, because I actually don't know what the age difference is.
We'll just delegate our care. It's not like, so Dane Cook got engaged to his girlfriend who he's in his late 40s, and she was 23, and they were dating for 5 years, which the math on that is bad.
I don't like that.
The math on that's very bad.
I don't like that one bit.
Also, fuck Dane Cook
for a myriad of reasons, and especially that one.
You know what? Fuck Dane Cook for letting mediocre white men think they can do comedy.
I agree, by yelling into a microphone.
Yeah, if I have to see, and I will, one more mediocre white man shout into a microphone. Oh, like that guy who thought we were dating at that one open mic.
Yeah.
Which was so funny, because
that was the funniest part of his listener, routine.
if you see us ever, that's very funny.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. We both look like some kind of a version of the mom from Freaky Friday, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're so right.
It's not giving heterosexual.
It's not. Neither was Jamie Lee Curtis.
No.
Freaky Friday.
Loki, still not. But yeah. That's, you know, again, maybe it's the voice thing. She's got a little bit of a lesbian voice, I'd say.
Yeah. And her doing that Activia commercial is actually very lesbian. Lesbians care about your gut biome.
Lesbians do care about, I'm on a gut biome journey myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of Greek yogurt.
A lot of Greek yogurt. I am doing the Greek yogurt. I'm trying to eat, you know, a lot of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tracking water intake. So that way, you know.
Look at you.
It's a thriving. And who said she doesn't go on adventures? You know what I mean?
The greatest adventure ever. The adventure.
My own body.
Of your own body. End up being regular.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to experience fog in the bathroom anymore.
No more, you know what I mean? No more of that bathroom electric fog. Adding electric in that is real bad. Yeah.
Okay, so technically there is one last one.
Okay, let's hit it.
But I'm kind of over it at this point.
Yeah.
And it's just big ass fucking waves.
Okay. Yeah. Is it that you mentioned that it's like a churning point in the ocean?
Yeah. So, well, there is something that happens in like smaller bodies of water,
mm-hmm.
Where basically the bottom and the top layers,
yeah,
there's a pressure. There's both a pressure difference and a temperature difference. And so I was thinking that with the methane being released, that you would get a churning effect. And so the bottom layer becomes the top layer, and then it shifts everything all around. And in a lot of bodies of water, this is how carbon is distributed.
Oh, interesting.
And so maybe that is something. I don't know if that's actually something that happens in the ocean, because it's so large and everything's probably just churning all around all the time.
Who knows?
You know who might know is whoever is funding this podcast.
Whoever's funding this podcast. But overall, yeah, okay. I think that most of the conspiracy theories presented in this were extremely not believable, which to me is the goal. Like, that's, yeah, I love hearing stupid conspiracy theories.
Yeah. It makes it hard to get excited about rogue waves. Is what this is called.
Sure.
Researchers have posited that waves could reach 100 feet in height. Yeah. I mean, monsoons, like, those happen.
We've all seen The Perfect Storm with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg.
Exactly. And so
those waves got big. Waves.
And I'm just like, you're telling me 100-foot waves took out all these people with maybe, I guess.
Okay, for boats, maybe. Yeah. The planes, I have a harder time with.
Believing. The plane was only 100 feet. The ocean
just reached up and batted it down. Like, no.
I kind of like that idea for a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, the sentient ocean batted the planes out.
I mean, it really makes, here's what I'll say. All of these theories, except for the Atlantis one, I think bolster the aliens claim. Because let's say that there is a wormhole.
Okay.
That there is a vortex. But let's say that it opens not just here, like at one point, and you could skirt through it. I mean, who knows how a wormhole works? Maybe it's like the edge of a black hole, where maybe guy just kind of like launched himself across the edge of it. But if you get sucked directly into it, then you get punched out somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And there's just a group of aliens there.
And they're like, what the fuck?
And they are just like, I don't know.
You guys order this?
And then everybody's like, well, you can't go back through.
Yeah.
So you can either hang out here or die trying to go back. And then,
so this theory also says that there's somewhere out there a hybrid society of humans and aliens that are been forced to learn to live with one another.
100%, 100%, and any natural gases that they produce, because people only know of like one way to make, you know, long-lasting fuel, and that's, you know, carbon-based, you know, fossil fuels. That just gets pumped back through the wormhole, methane bubbles.
Oh, if you solved it with this one.
And now you're changing the temperature, and now you've got all these things, water spouts. And it's just sucking more stuff in.
11 out of 10. Yeah. I believe this one. Yeah, this is the one I believe.
So I think I'm going to say that I think all of them combined.
Yeah.
Is the theory.
Yeah, there we go. We haven't tried that yet. We haven't tried just combining all the theories into one mega theory, like a Voltron of theories.
Like a Voltron of theories, which is great. The only one I left out was Atlantis.
Well,
which, like, maybe it's just also true. It's just they happen.
The Atlantis is a myth of a city at a civilization at the bottom of the sea. Really, this civilization is through the wormhole.
Right, exactly.
In the ocean.
That's what Atlantis is.
And so that's, it all makes sense. It all came together.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
And like,
we did it.
And then they all have crystal energies.
This is, by the way, I don't know if you've ever watched X-Files, the exact style of logic that Mulder uses in X-Files. It's so frustrating to watch.
I mean, I like it. I think that this one is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
In the idea of like what could suck up an airplane, although it is also very terrifying and extremely sad that so many lives have been lost without closure.
Sure. Yeah. So sad.
Tragic. So I will leave you with this. There's a lot of mysteries about the ocean, and it's going to be, I think, impossible for us to really buy into any of them when we know that we know so little about the ocean. We know more about Mars than we do our actual oceans.
Yeah.
So I think that while these are fun, and these have, I think, fantastical implications. I think that until we are able to know more about the ocean and how it works, and especially how compasses works, somebody should really
get
on that.
Can someone please tell us how compasses work?
How a fucking compass works. Has anybody ever considered that maybe this is the problem?
Yeah. That there's no south?
That there is no magnetic... South? What are you talking about? Make it make sense to me. I think that it's going to be a while before we can believe any one true theory for these disappearances, if not there being multiple instances of, I think, a lot of variables that have caused a lot of these disappearances. And again, this is just one part of the ocean. There have been many disappearances all over the ocean, including, and teaser for the next one, Amelia Earhart.
Ooh.
America's true sweetheart.
Yes. All right. Well, that will be next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you have any thoughts about what we talked about, can explain how a compass works.
I really would like to know how a compass works.
Anything, you can comment below where you're listening. You can find us on social media at Who's Funding This Podcast, or you can email us at whosfundingthispodcast@gmail.com. You can also let us know any conspiracy theories you're excited about that you would like us to cover.
Please do.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.